We are in our, I don't know, fifth week of Finding Jesus Under the Sea, and this week it's about stingrays. Stingrays, I didn't know this. Did you know that they're related to sharks? I did not know that. Some are big, some are little. Some have a barb on the end of their table. It's too hot for spell check to be failing me now. Tail can be up to 14 inches long, full of poison. Remember who got stabbed with one? Steve Irwin, that's right. That's the famous one. In the Cayman Islands and some other Caribbean resorts, you can get in the water and feed them. Have you done that? Was it scary? I think I'd be scared. They have barbs this big on the end of their tables. Some of you may have seen on Facebook, it's a really cute video. You can look it up if you want. There was a little boy who found a stingray, like a river stingray or something, and he noticed it was commencing to give birth, and they do live births. So he started helping the stingray give birth to these babies, these tiny little stingrays. Now, those are cute. And it's interesting, the females who are probably, well, you know, the females are always the smartest of the species. After mating, they will sometimes delay birth for up to 2 years, waiting for just the right time. And they're excellent hiders. They'll bury themselves in the sand and stay there until they smell prey nearby. Then they'll pop up and grab it, and that's what they look like. That's what they look like when they're buried in the sand. I forgot we have two screens. But while they're buried, they're almost impossible to see. They're still there. They can run. They can hide. But they can't disappear entirely. Today's scripture passage is about Elijah, who tried to run. He tried to hide. He tried to disappear entirely. Elijah was a major prophet. He was a messenger of God in the northern kingdom of Israel about 900 years before the birth of Jesus. And I love the stories about Elijah. He was brazen. Sometimes he could be a bit of a pipsqueak. And this passage takes us right after Elijah had just won a contest against the evil king's god, Baal, and had killed 800 of his prophets. Ahab, it says in the Bible, was so evil, he did more to provoke the Lord, the God of Israel, to anger than did all of the other kings of Israel before him. And his wife, Jezebel, was worse. She was really the one that was in charge. She was ruthless. And so when Ahab told his wife Jezebel what had happened, she went absolutely ballistic and sent everything she had to find Elijah and kill him. No wrath has that like a woman scorned or wronged or criticized or who had just had 800 of her prophets wiped out. At this point, Elijah was tired. He was done. Ahab and Jezebel had already systematically killed the one true God's prophets. All but 100 of them were dead, and they were hidden in a cave somewhere. Elijah was the only one that God was still sending here and there to warn the people to repent, to turn back to God. And it was in a very hostile territory. Now, Elijah probably thought about that victory against the god Baal when all the prophets of Baal got killed, that it was finally finished. Surely Ahab and Jezebel were finally with the program. Surely then they finally believed that Yahweh was the one true God, the one true God of the Israelites, was more powerful and bigger and more real than any of their foolish graven images. So after this great victory, and after putting to bed once and for all that God was God. Elijah had just scored a major victory over his enemies, and he had called fire from heaven. And then Jezebel came back at him with more attacks. Elijah was exhausted. He was emotionally drained. And he ran to Horeb, the mountain, not to rest up, but to give up. He really wanted to die. He ran. He tried to hide. He didn't really want to hear from God anymore. He tried to make himself disappear. While he was resting, God provided for him. When he was ready to go, he went and tried to hide again in a cave, and God showed up. God said, "Why are you here? What are you doing, Elijah?" And Elijah pleaded his case. "God, I have done everything I can. I've done everything you've wanted me to do, but Jezebel still wants to kill me. I am so over it. I am done." And God shows up. A very strong wind tore through the mountains and broke apart the stones before the Lord, but the Lord wasn't in the wind. And after the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord wasn't in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, there was a fire, but the Lord wasn't in the fire. After the fire, there was a sound, thin, quiet, a whisper. And Elijah listened, because in that whisper was God's voice. And from there, God sent Elijah to find Elijah's successor, the next one God would use to warn his people. God was making plans to let Elijah finally retire. Now, I know some of you, I know most of you, and I think most of you are living Elijah lives. You're not necessarily prophets of God, although I believe every single person in this room was created by God to do something. But even if you're not right now being obedient to God's call, most of you are living Elijah lives. You wake up every morning, hitting the ground running, ready to sprint through all the tasks of your day, only at the end of the day to feel like all you did was stay on a treadmill. All the stuff that was there waiting to be done still was waiting to be done, and tomorrow morning was going to bring even more piled on. Some of you have been thrown off of life's treadmill. Life has become so overwhelming. You have absolutely no idea how to get it back on track again. You've used every trick in the book to get your kids straightened out, and then you get the call again from school. Come pick them up. You've reasoned and argued and ignored and even tried to love some connection back into your marriage, but you're ready to call the lawyer. You just got caught up in your bills. You can finally breathe, or at least you thought you could, and then something pops up, an expense, something you forgot about, and you go sliding right back in that hole again. And you've become Elijah. Elijah had a great victory. He was on an emotional high. And the problem with these emotional and spiritual highs that we have in life, typically the trip to the valley afterwards is steep and a deep free fall. There's no gentle slope down. Normally, after our spiritual and emotional highs, we experience a crash. Elijah was afraid. No one, and I mean no one, messed with Jezebel and got away with it. Elijah was a dead man walking. Well, he's actually a dead man running. And hours early, he had been riding this emotional high, and now he's knocked flat, and he was headed into that emotional tailspin, and fear replaced his faith. This threat from Jezebel had shaken him to the core, and instead of praying to God for help, like Elijah had always done before, he bolted, he ran, he tried to disappear. I don't believe there's any human emotion that paralyzes us and causes us to think the wrong way more than fear. Fear of the future, fear of loss, fear of failure, fear of what could happen. Often our fear isn't from the end result. For instance, I'm not afraid to die, but I'm very afraid of the pain that comes before dying. Fear is our desire to avoid pain. And one of the most liberating things my counselor told me years and years ago was to ask this question when you're facing fear. What's the worst thing that could happen? And if the worst thing that could happen is you'll die, if you're a Christian, that's okay. But with this despair and with this fear of Elijah, it was compounded by his isolation. He was driven, he was fatigued, he was tired, he was exhausted, he was weary, he was burnt out, he was anxious, he was running on empty, and he thought he was alone. When we're hurting, we withdraw from others. Instead of reaching out, we pull into our shelves, we go into our caves, and then we wonder why we feel so alone. Totally depleted, Elijah allowed himself to wallow in self-pity. He was devastated by it. Elijah ran for an entire day until he saw a small tree and he collapsed in its shade. And in his despair, he prayed that he might die. I have had enough. Take my life. Many of you are living Elijah lives, running, defeated, running away, depleted, wishing for the days that you were back on the mountaintop, remembering when life was good, and now you're in the pits of despair. You're exhausted, you're afraid, you're alone, you're feeling sorry for yourself. But you're a stingray. You can run. You can hide. But you can never disappear from God. And thank God you can't. Sometimes you want to. Sometimes you can feel like you've fallen so far away from God that there's no way back. Sometimes you convince yourself you're self-sufficient. You don't need God. You're good. You don't believe in him anymore anyway. And sometimes you blame God for your troubles like Mary and Martha did when their brother Lazarus died. God, if you had only been here, this wouldn't have happened to me. And God gets it. He knows your hearts. And he'll provide for you just like he did Elijah. Elijah was clearly one of God's favorites, but that didn't exempt him from having to do some pretty crazy and dangerous things. Big task for God. So when Elijah tried to hide from God, he was defying God. And notice, God didn't show up and slap him upside the head. God didn't say, "Suck it up, snap out of it." God knew the most important medicine Elijah needed, and that was rest. God didn't give him a lecture or a sermon or heap shame on him. That is not the nature of God. God gave Elijah exactly what he needed, which first was rest, a good long nap, not an action plan. And sometimes that's exactly what we need, and that's exactly what we don't do. We don't rest. Don't be afraid to slow down the pace of your life. Set aside some time every single day for quiet, for rest, to rediscover God. Elijah went into a cave away from God. But God was still there, and he gently called Elijah out of his dark place, out of his place of hiding, not with violence, not with thunderbolts, not with demands. That is not the nature of God. God called Elijah out gently, lovingly, with a whisper, because God calls us in a way that will cause us to want to be next to him. You call a dog with anger in your voice, that dog's going to take off. But if you call a dog, come here, gently, softly, the dog will come to you. And how much more are we, much more important are we to God than a dog? Have you ever tried this trick with little kids? If you're with a bunch of little kids and it's chaos and you're trying to get to their attention and you go, be quiet, be quiet, be quiet, and then they just get right higher than you, right? You want to get a kid's attention? Put your head down and talk quietly, and you'll have a whole bunch of toddlers around you looking at your face because they want to know what you're saying. Who is that stockbroker, when they listen, everyone listens? EFI? I'm sorry. I have sweat in my ears. When E.F. Hutton talks, everyone listens. When Elijah heard the soft voice of God, he got out of his cave of self-pity. Verse 13 in that 1 Kings passage says, he pulled his cloak over his face. He went out and he stood at the mouth of the cave. He was awestricken by the revelation of God's holy and majestic whisper. And those events on that mountain are what caused him to go back to connection with God. Elijah needed to come out of his cave in order to rediscover God. He needed to learn that God was with him when things are going good, and God was with him when things were rough. God doesn't always keep us from going through difficult times. God very seldom keeps us from going difficult times. But he does promise to walk through them with us. Hearing God's whisper reminded Elijah that God was still in control of the circumstances. You cannot hear God's whisper if you're surrounded by noise and clutter from your lives. It's okay to put earplugs in now and again. In fact, it's crucial. The phone calls, the voices, the chaos, the YouTubes will all still be there when you take the earplugs out. But if you want to get closer to God, if you want to rediscover God, if you want to reconnect with God, then you've got to allow yourself some quiet time so that you can hear his whispers. And you're not in this alone. God is absolutely always with us, whether we're buried in the sand or not. We can run and we can hide, but we can't disappear. And sometimes the best way to come out of hiding is to come out of hiding. Some of us are stuck in our caves of despair, of fear, of hopelessness. Some of us are stuck in our caves waiting for someone to come in and find us. But God calls us out of those caves to allow us to get back out where people are. It's a tough thing to do, to be in community with other people. It's the most vulnerable place we can be, but God designed all of us with an innate desire, an innate need, a wiring for a relationship with him and a relationship with each other. It is with people, it is through people, that God will often reveal himself to us. It is through people that God will often show us his love, show us his compassion. And it's tough to get there sometimes. Sometimes we've got some fence mending to do. If you're right now in a conflict with any of your relationships, do what it takes to make them right. True reconciliation is one of the most powerful of all human interactions. Do you need to forgive someone? Then do it. Do you need to ask for forgiveness? Then do it. Do whatever it takes to restore your relationships. Because until you restore your relationships with other people, until you restore your relationship with God, you will stay buried in the sand. God reversed Elijah's emotional burnout by meeting his needs and allowing him to rest. God drew Elijah back into relationship with him by a gentle whisper. God allowed himself to be approachable so that Elijah would go back to him. And then God provided him with a friend, someone with whom he could have a relationship so that Elijah wasn't doing life alone. Max Lucado says this, God likes you just the way you are, but he loves you far too much to let you stay that way. It's a scary thing sometimes to come out of hiding, to return to face God, to open yourself up to be in relationship with other people, but God is always with you. God loves you. With a whisper, he calls you. He draws you to him. He provides you with rest and peace. And then he sets you off refreshed and ready to be everything he created you to be. You can run. You can hide. But you can never, ever, ever disappear from God's love. Amen.